brothers and sisters in Christ, today we hear the familiar gospel story about the rich young man who went away sad when the Lord told him to sell all that he had and to come follow him. This young man evidently knows that he's lacking something. There's something in him that tells him he doesn't have it all. And that's why he's asking the Lord, what do I still lack? And yet, he is so attached to the things that he has that he can't let go of them to embrace God. There's a fundamental principle to understand about human morality. And the key to this is understanding that the greatest human desire is that of happiness. And it's evident from this gospel passage that material possessions cannot give man happiness. They may make life easier, they may afford him comforts and advantages that he otherwise wouldn't have, but they can't make a man happy. The only true happiness is the possession of God and the source of life. The question he asked, what must I do to gain eternal life? That is a desire in the heart of every human being, because we're made by the eternal God for him. And so it's in our very being, in our intellect, in our will, this desire for God. We may not recognize without instruction in religion what is the true nature of that desire and how is it satisfied, but it's there. And this young man realizes it. In the responsorial psalm, we repeated this response, this refrain, remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people. Really, we should be telling ourselves, remember, O people, that the Lord has favored us. Because it's the people who forget. God never forgets us. We forget. And that's what we heard in the first reading, the history of Israel, who, though led out of Egypt with signs and wonders, keep forgetting God and turning to false gods, idolatry, serving not the true Lord, but the false gods of this world. And it's a problem that is perennial, and we still have it today. It almost sounds as if this was written for our time. They served their idols, which became a snare for them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. This is happening today. You think of abortion in a literal sense, sacrificing sons and daughters to demons. The demon of the underworld, of course, is the one who motivates this practice on a global scale. But then there's the demons, the false gods that we follow, wealth, fame, a very misconstrued idea of liberty. The Lord wants us to be happy. And if we possess God, what else do we need? And that's what the Lord wants us to remember. And our Lord knows of the problem of inconstancy, this problem of our existence in this world of always being in between, in this struggle between damnation and salvation, between eternal life and perdition. And we have, on the one hand, the attraction to God, the desire for eternal life, and on the other hand, all the seductions of the flesh, the world, and the devil, who is a deceiver, a liar, and a murderer. The Lord said, to the rich young man, if you wish to be perfect, sell what you have and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. It's an invitation that, sadly, this young man could not bring himself to accept because of his attachment to things. Now, I said that we need to pray, we should pray, that we ourselves remember that the Lord has favored us. And he keeps sending his mother to us to remind us that he has not abandoned us, that to call us back to him. St. Maximilian was very attentive to and contemplated much Our Lady's apparition at Lourdes when she revealed that she was the Immaculate Conception. And so he was constantly instructing his friars and the laity to turn to her, to look to her as our model, as well as the one that God sent to accompany us, to help us. That's what consecration is all about. And with regard to poverty, this is what he says. He's talking about imitation of the Immaculate as the way to live a more perfect life. We practice supernatural obedience, one of the evangelical counsels, because it is her will. We practice chastity because of her virginity, is we imitate her virginity, and that's how we acquire this virtue of chastity. Poverty, by imitating her detachment from earthly goods. And then this idea of consecration. Instead of holding on to everything we want for ourselves, we give ourselves to her. Our soul belongs to her. So she directs our intellect that we may see her will in religious obedience and spare no diligent effort in seeking the truth. She also guides our will so that it may not love anything outside her will, recognizing in her will the will of Jesus Christ, of his most sacred heart, the will of God. Our body belongs to her, that for her it may be exposed to suffer willingly and withstand all hardships. All our things belong to her, hence perfect poverty and the use of things only as needed and sufficient to reach the goal. And of course, reaching that goal was what the rich young man hoped to do, but without having to sacrifice the things that he had. Our Lady will help us to let go of the things we're holding on to. If we just let that all go and hold on to her hand, then she will guide us along the way, always in the will of God, because she is always in the will of God and ever was from the first moment of her conception. So, brothers and sisters, we may be tempted by the things of this world, material, status, this false idea of liberty to do whatever we want. If we will be willing to let that go and embrace God with the help of the Blessed Virgin Mary, then we will have everything. And then we will be free to follow Jesus to eternal life and to that which we all desire, which is true happiness. May the Blessed Virgin Mary, with the intercession of St. Maximilian Kolbe, help us attain the truth and freedom that Christ wants for us. Praise be Jesus and Mary.